Today's scripture comes from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 3. It's Ezekiel 37, 1 through 3. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know.
If you will, have your Bibles open to Ezekiel chapter 37, where Jeff just read for us. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, that's on page 724. As I said, this morning is going to be a little bit different. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we are blessed and happy to have you with us. At the same time, I hope that when you hear this lesson this morning, you don't come away thinking, oh, wow, what's this all about? Because there's a degree to which we're going to have a little bit of a frank lesson this morning about us as a church family. I use that phrase family a lot, but I want you to know that I don't use it loosely. Family, the concept of family is something that hopefully is important to each one of us, but I know that it's something that's important to God, because when Scripture talks about us relating to one another, it speaks of us in terms of brothers and sisters based on what Jesus has done for us. And sometimes families, to function well, families have to have frank conversations. Sometimes we have to be candid with one another, and sometimes running away from those conversations aren't good for us and aren't healthy for us. And so this morning, what I have to say comes as a family member and as one who speaks to you as family. And hopefully better things lie ahead for us as a family. As you see, this lesson's called Back to Life. Now, let me say this. I don't think we're dead. So don't take it that way. But if you've been a part of our family for a while, you know that recent times have been difficult. You know, Robert's prayer and my words acknowledge some difficult things that have gone on in our society and in our world, but the truth is there have been some difficult things that have taken place among us as a church family, and sometimes I'll vaguely allude to those or reference those in my sermons, but there's a lot of Sundays that tough stuff has happened in the past week for some of you, and sometimes I know about those things, and sometimes I don't, but we don't always make mention of those things. But this morning, this isn't about anything specifically that's happened in the past week or past many weeks, but it's out of a recognition that we as a church seem to have been in a bit of a slump, if you'll allow me to use that word. I'm a sports fan, and sometimes it's good for a baseball player to just say, you know what, I've been in a slump. Sometimes you don't get out of a slump until you say, I've been in a slump, and I need to make some changes. And we as a church, we've been in a bit of a slump. We've lost some people. Some people we've lost because of moves or jobs, but again, just to be blunt, some people we've lost because of spiritual situations. Sometimes some of you will ask me about some of those things, and sometimes I'm able to tell you a little bit, and sometimes I wish I knew more. Sometimes I wish I understood better. But I will let you know that neither the elders nor I nor many of our members are ignorant, or the word for ignorant is to ignore. We are not ignoring these things. They have been things that have been a part of us, and they concern us and they trouble us. Some of our members are still a part of us, but they're just struggling for a variety of reasons. Some physical, some emotional, some financial. We sometimes know about these things, and sometimes we don't. But what we recognize is that there's just a lot of people struggling among us. And again, there's a lot of people in the world who are struggling. And we can continue to act like that, you know, everything's just hunky-dory when it's not, but that doesn't really help anything. Numbers have been down. Church involvement has been down. Sometimes, well, you can't really measure this. It seems like maybe spirituality has been down a bit. And maybe I say that because that's maybe just what's going on inside of me. It's possible that everything's just fine with everybody else, and it's just me, and I'm maybe projecting some of that. So if so, I'm preaching to me today, and you get to watch or listen. Because when things like this happen, it has an effect on all of us. It causes you to be less optimistic about your faith and your hope and your trust, and worship maybe becomes a bit more stale, and the preacher's preaching isn't quite as good, and he acknowledges that as well. By the way, with all that being said, let me also say this. We've had some good things happen among us. We've had some baptisms recently. Mitch is sitting here, and Mitch is on fire for the Lord, and he encourages me. We've had some new families move in and place membership and be really involved. And I look at the Schaefers back there, and they've become a part of us, and they've already got another baby they're bringing to the fold, so we're excited about that, and there's other people having babies. And so there are good things that are happening. But this morning I want to speak to some of the things that maybe we need to lift one another up again and come back to life. And of all the passages that speak to that, maybe Ezekiel 37, besides passages that speak to the resurrection of Jesus, Ezekiel 37 might be just about the best, because Ezekiel knew what it was like to live in spiritually tempestuous times. We talk about things going on in our world. Well, imagine being Ezekiel about 550 or so years before the time of Jesus. He is part of God's chosen people, part of the Israelites, a descendant of Abraham. God had given them the promised land. And now he is living as a captive under the rule of the Babylonians. You think that would have been easy? Here you are, and you're a prophet of God, doing God's work, and there's so many people who just seem to be ignoring God and not caring about God, and because of that, they've been led away. And some people wonder, well, God's kingdom has died. Because here we are, the Jews, and we're living in Babylon. There is no hope anymore. And I'm sure Ezekiel was frustrated by both his mission and by the attitudes of those around him, and just simply by living under the captivity of the Babylonians. But as the passage that Jeff read for us in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 begins by saying, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley." Ezekiel is about to behold a scene beyond our comprehension. The scene he is going to first witness is full of death. But he is about to be shown by the Lord and by his Spirit what God is able to do even when times seem tough, when things seem like they might be dying, and for Ezekiel, even when it looks like everything has already died. I want to make a few observations about what Ezekiel witnesses, but what we can gain from that as well in helping us get back on track and be resuscitated. If you are on the pinnacle of faith right now, stay there. You keep doing what you're doing. But for those of us who might be struggling or suffering or feeling like our faith is dying or close to death, then I believe that what we see in Ezekiel 37 provides us the keys for coming back to life as well. The first thing that I want to point out this morning is that to come back to life, we've got to hear. And what we've got to hear is God's Word. Point number one, hear God's Word. Look at how the passage continues. As Ezekiel's in this valley, and what he sees is a valley of bones. I mean, it's just death all around is what he is witnessing. Verse 4 says, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Ezekiel says in verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone." The best CGI effects in today's Hollywood movies couldn't replicate what Ezekiel sees here. All these bones, God tells him, "Ezekiel, speak to these bones." And what is Ezekiel to tell them? The first thing he says, "Hear The word of the Lord. Hear God's word. Now, as Ezekiel's speaking to these bones, is Ezekiel telling these bones, you need to start reading the Bible? No, that's not what he's telling them. He's saying, you need to heed God's power over you. You need to know God's word that is being spoken to you at this time. Because if you want to have life again, it's only going to begin with returning to God and what He says. And for the Israelites in that day and time, the reason why they had ended up in captivity, the reason why it seemed like God's kingdom had completely died, is because they had abandoned listening to God, heeding God's word. And for us today as individuals, or for us collectively today, when we find ourselves falling back and suffering, dying, and close to death spiritually, part of that picture is turning away from God, listening to Him again. And again, I'm not just talking about us being Bible students and Bible scholars. You can be a great Bible student. You can be a scholar of God's Word. But if you're not heeding the Word of the Lord, you can be dead. The church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, Jesus says to them, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. That's a sad statement. People would look at the church at Sardis and say, these people get together for worship. These people, they have God's word. What does Jesus say to them? Your reputation is not a reflection of who you really are. You have come to a place on the brink of spiritual death. Part of their resuscitation is part of the resuscitation in Ezekiel 37. To come back again, to hear God's word, not just as information, but to give direction, to provide life again to those bones. And not just to come back to life physically, but to come back to life spiritually. The same is true for us today. I'm not here to point fingers or to put you on a guilt trip, but I want you to consider, when's the last time you really sought God's word, not just for information, but for direction, for strength, for life, realizing that it ultimately is the only thing that can put you back on track. A passage that's quite appropriate, and actually it could have come right out of, it didn't, but the way that it speaks is in Psalm 119. If you turn to Psalm 119, this could have been written at the time that Ezekiel witnesses the events of Ezekiel 37. Psalm 119, a psalm written because of the writer's love for God's word. Listen to what Psalm 119 verse 25 says. It says, my soul clings to the dust, just like those dry bones did. Give me life according to your word. Give me life according to your word. When I told you of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Verse 28 says, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When we find ourselves losing life spiritually, we've got to get back to God speaking to us, letting Him speak to us and letting Him give us direction, and us finding our strength in Him. With that thought in mind, we'll sing our next song.
Saying them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. All for pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
There's one problem with those bones that begin clanging and banging against one another when Ezekiel witnesses them coming back out of that dust, out of that dry ground. They were still dead. They were just skeletons. That was an impressive scene. But for these bones to have life, and even after they grew flesh and muscle and witnessing all of that, if you can imagine, even after all of that, these fully assembled bodies now, they still are lifeless. In some ways, it reminds you of the picture of Adam being formed and created in Genesis chapter 2. God taking the dust of the ground and forming this man. But it wasn't until Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 where we're told that God breathed into Adam life. Adam by himself was just bones and flesh and even muscle. But to truly live, God had to breathe into him. For these bones that are resurrected in Ezekiel 37, they needed God's breath as well. Ezekiel 37 verse 8 continues, and Ezekiel says, "And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." Breathe on these that are slain so that they might live. And life comes to them. Now, for what Ezekiel witnesses, this is about more than just physical breath. Because if you skip down to verse 14, in talking about the fulfillment of what all these things mean, God says, "And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." It's one thing for us just to hear God's word, as we talked about in the previous section. But upon hearing it, we've also got to breathe God in, if you will. Allow God to live within us. In the New Testament, that's depicted as His Spirit living and dwelling within us. Us allowing God to animate us, not primarily about physical life, although He did give us physical life, but that we realize that He is the source of our spiritual lives. And that who we are and who we are to be those who let Him flow through us and us put Him on display because of that reality. I think one of the best ways for us to take a breath again, if you will. Have you ever been in a situation, by the way, where you realize, you know, I just haven't taken a good deep breath in a while? I've been like that sometimes. You know, you're just busy, you're doing stuff, and all of a sudden you just step back here. It just feels good to do that every now and then. To me, that's what worship is about. It's a time for us in the busyness of everything that goes on, of our week-to-week, day-to-day activities, for us to step back and say, I need to breathe God in again. Actually, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 speak to that. They talk about us being filled with the Spirit. And how are we filled with the Spirit in that passage? We address one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We make melody in our heart. We give thanks to the Lord. When we come together to sing, when we come together to worship, it's not just to say, hey, we've done this today. We have fulfilled what Scripture says about worship. It's to be filled with the Spirit, to breathe God in, to inhale and exhale when it seems like we've just been short of breath all week long. Ezekiel 37, these bones, these bodies never lived until God's breath filled them. We're never really going to live or to be resuscitated, to come back to life, until we tap in and tune in to God and allow Him to live in us as well. These next two songs have those thoughts in mind.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary, please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Restore my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Stir my desire to work in your foe. Light in my heart, dear Lord, your silver-grown coal. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored. My cup is empty, refill it, dear Lord. Replace all doubts and fear with faith, behold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory.
This picture continues in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 10. It says, "So I prophesied as he commanded, me, and the breath came into me, and came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people." Ezekiel sees the fullness of what has just taken place. You know, when I first read Ezekiel 37, for some reason my mind gravitates towards this picture of one set of bones coming back to life. This bone being connected to that bone, and then the muscle and the flesh, the skin coming upon it, and then breath and life coming into that singular body. But as you read verse 10, as Ezekiel prophesies to these bones, the conclusion of verse 10 says, they lived and stood on their feet. And then he says, an exceedingly great army. The valley of dry bones was not just the bones of one body or two bodies, or the way I read it, or even a couple dozen bodies. As amazing that would have been, this is an exceedingly great army. I also find it interesting that they stand. They don't just sit in the dust. They don't just exist. They stand. They're called to attention, as you would envision a great army doing. God tells Ezekiel, what you have seen is great, but I want to tell you something even greater. This is exceedingly great army. This is your people. I'm going to do something even better than this. I'm going to bring Israel back home. It says that the people's commentary of the day in verse 11, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are indeed cut off. The Israelites thought, this is done, game over. We're in Babylon. We're not God's chosen people. Better days are not ahead. God says, I want you to see what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. You're not doing it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put you back in the land. And as you continue to read the story of the Old Testament, when the people got back into the land, yes, there were starts and stops and struggles with getting back on their feet. But those who recognized that God had resurrected them, what did they do? They got busy doing God's business. They lived with God's purpose. They knew what it meant to be God's army, to allow His word and His breath, not just to allow them to exist, but to live and to thrive, because they had been resurrected. The question for us is, are we going to let God do the same thing in us? Are we going to live out God's purpose? Or do we just exist? I'm afraid that in our country, in our culture, that there are a lot of people who might be assembled for worship this morning, a lot of people who have good intentions, but they're saying the same things that the Israelites used to say. Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. Game over. There's no hope. And they don't realize that we serve a God of resurrection, a God of life, a God who is to breathe within us, and we are to have a purpose because of that. Not just exist, not just gather for worship, but to show the world what it means to be God's people because of who He is and what He has done. 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter. It's of all the chapters in the Bible, it is one of the hallmark chapters. Because it is about the good news. It is about the gospel. It is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We talked about this in our mustard seeds class this morning. It really bookends the two most important events in human history. It begins by talking about the resurrection of Jesus and how that is the message of good news. It continues by talking about the resurrection when He returns. And on these two events determine everything we should be and everything we should be doing. But it's interesting how that chapter concludes. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, because of the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead and that there is going to be another resurrection, far greater than that that took place in the Valley of Dry Bones, because of the resurrection," he says, "be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Your life is not in vain because of the resurrection. Your life is not in vain so long as you live with that purpose and allow God to live within you. God is alive and well. The message to Ezekiel and the Israelites in Ezekiel 37, God is alive, He's well, He has all the power. Are we going to hear His Word, breathe His Spirit, and live with His purpose? That is the recipe for coming back to life. But we've got to give Him our lives. This morning, if you need to do that and come to the living God, the God of resurrection, if you need to put Jesus on in baptism, if you need to turn back and give your life to Him, we encourage you to do so while we stand and sing.